Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
It is Championship Saturday in Miami. 4 weeks of heart-pounding, hardcore tennis from the Sunshine Double reaching its crescendo as we welcome you to Tennis Channel Live on this championship weekend at the 2024 Miami Open. So glad you're with us as we work our way towards the singles final. At the top of the hour, it'll be the Wimbledon champion, Elena Rybakina, back in the final here for the second year in a row, taking on the surprise finalist, American Danielle Collins, who is trying to go out with a bang in her last visit to this tournament as a player. But first, we must tip the cap to our men's doubles champions. They won in Australia. They were the top seeds here. And now Rohan Bopanna and Matt Ebden are your Miami Open champs. Their fourth title as a dynamic duo. More celebration of their title coming up. But with that, we say good afternoon and welcome to Tennis Channel Live here on the Cadillac desk at Hard Rock Stadium as we bring you coverage on Championship Saturday with the Hall of Famers Martina Navratilova and Jim Courier and with Prakash Amritrajan, Brett Haber. Prakash, thank you for letting us, you know, crash your desk where you usually hold forth.
Listen, I've been saying there's plenty of room for the whole family, so glad we're all doing that family thing today. But, Habes, listen, I got my meal prep in the fridge.
Oh, good.
That's off limits, though.
Won't touch any of the zebras or antelopes that are at your disposal, because I know that's sacred territory for Prakash. It's been a very entertaining 2 weeks here in Miami. Jim, what's been your moment of the tournament so far?
I think the takedown yesterday of Daniil Medvedev by Jannik Sinner on the heels of that five-set win in Australia, that was so difficult for Jannik to come out there and really make a statement and to understand that Medvedev was going to bring that same type of aggression. He wasn't surprised this time. He was prepared for it. And Medvedev, I don't think, was prepared for the type of serving coming down the line against him. It was a thorough annihilation, and certainly something for Medvedev, who all of us, I think, have so much respect and admiration for. He's got to do a little searching and try and figure out what else he might be able to bring to the puzzle, because he obviously didn't believe that his defense was going to be enough to stop Sinner, so he tried to counteract that with offense. That didn't work. The unforced error count grew, and Sinner's confidence grew as well.
Yeah. Prakash, your moment of the tournament?
For me, it was Grigor Dimitrov bringing one-handers back into the top 10.
Yay.
He was exceptional against Carlos Alcaraz. Maybe one of the best matches I've seen in recent times, top to tail. And then to continue that against Sasha Zverev in that night match, the energy was electric. Serena was out there. Serena was giving him pep talk before, after the match as well. The energy was beautiful. And to see him come through, especially in those big moments, that break point, he was able to, off that lit court, put that volley away. I think this is huge for him moving forward. I think he's playing better tennis than he did in 2017 when he won the Nitto Finals.
That's high praise. What about you, Martina?
Yeah, Danielle Collins, I mean, announced her retirement this year. This is her last year playing. And it seems she's just relaxed. She's also done some work on her core, where it allows her to be in better balance playing her shots. In the finals here, I feel like it's her karma to win here. And, it's really kind of an understated celebration. It's like, okay, I'm expecting
very
to be there.
Very unlike Danielle.
Expecting to be there. I think we'll see a blow up if she wins this tournament. And I think she can, actually.
I'd be very disappointed if there weren't several commands if she lifted this trophy. Let's start to preview this women's final coming your way at the top of the hour here on Tennis Channel. And let's start by showing you how the two finalists got there. For Rybakina, it was a semifinal against the three-time Miami champion, Victoria Azarenka. And Martina, this was a weird match because the player who won it got bageled in the second set.
Yeah, the player who won it lost 10 more points for the match. But Rybakina came out pretty good in the first set. Meantime, second set, Azarenka, it was all Azarenka. Rybakina lost her legs, was not moving as well. Azarenka started moving the ball around a little bit better and ends up bageling Rybakina, which we had to go back a couple of years. Last time that happened, you see, even that drop shot was a shocker. But somehow, Rybakina able to reset, get herself together, got that break that when she needed it, and started moving better, and even finishes the match off. Well, Azarenka won that point. She's excited. She broke back, that game. Got the crowd going, but I think she was using too much energy on that, and Rybakina put it all together when she had to in the tiebreak, moving Azarenka around a lot better.
Yeah, so that's a lot of tennis played by Rybakina these 12 days. Four five-setters now in the five matches she's played. This is how she wrapped it up. She makes her fourth final of the season already in just seven events played. That's a pretty phenomenal start to the year for Rybakina, now tied with Iga Świątek for the most wins on tour this year, and a chance to break her own record of winners hit at a single 1,000 level event. That was 199 that she did right here 1 year ago. So that's how Rybakina got here. The other semifinal featured Katerina Alexandrova against Danielle Collins. Alexandrova having taken out both Świątek and Pegula earlier in the tournament. But Prakash, that did not faze Danielle.
No, it didn't. Alexandrova got up to a great start with a break, but after that, it was all she wrote. Danielle was mixing up beautiful offense with that defense, moving around the court really well. And again, here, tracking down balls and just kind of picking and choosing in the right spots throughout the entire match. There was nowhere for Alexander to really look. Collins just stayed so cool and calm under pressure as well. She's got so much fire, but sometimes it can eat her up. But here, she just found that right balance. Check out this defense here from behind the baseline, finds the angle. Body language was positive all the way through, and she just didn't let Alexandrova get started. Inside the baseline, attacking everything. Very clean, Martina.
So Collins, don't call me Martina, Prakash. Collins makes her first final since the Australian Open 2 years ago. And what a final it is, chance to win just her third career title. So here's what it looks like later on today. Rybakina expected by many to be there, and Collins not so much. The one victory in the head-to-head for Collins out of the four they played came in their first meeting 3 years ago, 3 p.m. Eastern, top of the hour. We'll have it for you on Tennis Channel. Now, as you no doubt know, Danielle Collins announced earlier this year that this is her last season on tour. She's going to retire. Jim, I wonder if you believe there's a connection between her seeing the finish line now and this seemingly liberated brand of tennis that she's playing.
It cuts two ways, doesn't it? It can cut the, oh my gosh, this is it. I'm nervous. This is my last time playing this tournament. It can be paralyzing if people can see the finish line. She's taken the other tactic. She seems to be liberated. She seems freed up. She also, Martina, importantly, she has her dog with her this week. So she's got companionship.
I get that part.
Right? You know, she's got a boyfriend, her dog. So she's in a great space mentally, it seems like. And we've all seen what she's capable of when she's timing the ball beautifully. She loves the hard courts. This is her home tournament in her home state of Florida. So she's getting good support here. She will again today against Rybakina. It's one of those why not kind of moments for an athlete. Why not? You know, I'm going off into the future. You know, hopefully family is a part of the future for her. But right now it's about finishing strong. And my goodness, is that happening for her?
Yep.
What do you think? Does she seem liberated? Does she seem free, unencumbered to you?
I think it's a combination of her doing the work physically to get herself in better shape. When maybe muscles we don't pay attention to, the core, and when it's not there, it's a big problem. So she's much better balanced for her shots, and I think that gives her the confidence. And also, I think, yeah, she's liberated. It's like she knows the finish line, nothing to save it for. If she doesn't feel good one day because of her physical issues, that's okay. Because she sees the finish line, and now she can give it everything she's got. And she just looks so sharp out there. And I think it has to be a combination of the mental as well as the physical.
And as she told us in press the other day, we have to stop asking her if she's going to change her mind. She's had some challenging physical issues, and she wants to do some other things outside of tennis. So more on the women's final coming up in just a minute. But we want to celebrate the doubles champions, and the ceremony's beginning out on stadium. Here's Andrew Kras.
2 weeks here. Let's hear it for your finalists, everyone. Austin Krajicek and Yvonne Dodig to come on up and get their lovely Bohemian Crystal trophies from last fit from Eduardo, and then we'll hear a few words from them. Yvonne and Austin, we would love to hear a few words from you guys for sure.
Yeah, first of all, thank you guys so much for coming out today. It's an awesome atmosphere. It's one of the best tournaments in the world. I grew up in Florida, so it's always great to play at home. It's seriously always one of my favorite events, so thank you guys so much. Also, thanks to my partner, Yvonne. Had a great week. You know, a few points short, doubles is such a difficult format, but we'll get another chance. Hopefully, big congrats to Rohan and Matt. Hopefully we get to play you guys in many more finals. You guys have been awesome this year, and hopefully you can keep it up. I want to say thanks to James. great event. All the sponsors, volunteers, ball kids, everyone that makes this event possible. It's a superb tournament, and it's one of my highlights every year. And lastly, one special thanks to my family to be able to be here, my coach, Philip Farmer. It's not very often that I get a big crew here to support. We can't do without you guys. My wife, Misha, at home, she sacrifices more than anybody for me to travel like a maniac. So, you know, it's a difficult a road we have, but thank you guys so much, and I can't wait to be back here next year. Thank you.
Yeah, I will be quick. Guys, first of all, thanks so much for coming and watching doubles. I hope you enjoy and that you will enjoy after singles matches. Thanks to all the people who tried to put this tournament. We had a great time. Really enjoyed every year here in Miami. Thank you, James, and all the people who really pushing hard to make those tournaments always better. Congrats, Rohan and Matt. And yeah, hopefully next few years we'll see you again. Thank you.
All right, once again, everyone, let's hear it for Yvonne Doding and Austin Krajicek, your finalists. What a tournament, what a final. These guys are complete inspirations. Let's bring them up. Your 2024 Miami Open champions, Matthew Ebden and Rohan Bopanna. Eduardo Amorim is going to hand them their incredibly beautiful Buchholz Championship trophies. And we're going to hear a few words from these guys. What an incredible couple of weeks.
Hey, everyone. Good afternoon. First of all, I'd like to congratulate Austin and Ivan for another great week. You know, they're tough opponents to play, so congrats and all the best for the coming season, guys. Secondly, thank you, Matt. You know, I know it was a tough match today. A lot of emotions to going through those three sets, but I'm glad we pulled it through and you know, got the title. So, and also, I just got to know that last year, since we won Indian Wells, and this year, the Miami, it's called the Career Sunshine Double. Yeah, so it's something new to have, and it's guys, thank you so much for coming out today, and thanks to the tournament for thanks for you know, James, for organizing such a great event here, and you know, glad to be back here in this beautiful venue, and you know, all the people who from your team who make this tournament happen. Thank you. And lastly, to my team there, Scott and Rebecca, thank you so much, you know, for all these weeks. It's been fantastic. And lastly, my good friend, DJ Ivory, your own DJ here in Miami. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks. I think Rohan said everything, so I'll thank James for an amazing tournament here. It gets better every year, but the best thing is for us to come out in this giant stadium and so many people here watching the doubles and supporting. So thank you so much supporting the doubles. We'll see you next year. Thank you.
All right, if I can get Matthew and Rohan, if I can get you two to just come up and stand here and hold up that trophy.
Big moment
awesome.
For Bopsy and Matt Ebden as they Matt, claim the title, the career sunshine double, as Rohan correctly pointed out, creatively pointed out back here on the Cadillac desk as TC Live continues. Prakash, it occurs to me that with Rohan making world number one, winning the Australian Open title, now winning this, with Leander Paes and your pops going into the Hall of Fame this summer, this has turned into a pretty monster year for Indian tennis, hasn't it?
It's a massive moment because all of these are historic things which bring new eyeballs to the game. And with the number of people that are in India who play sport, all you want to do is have more eyeballs picking up a tennis racket, more bodies picking up a tennis racket. That's how you create champions over the years. And on the single side of things, Sumit Nagal is playing some brilliant tennis US as well, won a match in Australia, which is a big deal when you haven't had too many great singles players come out of India. So things are trending in the right direction. TCI is in India as well, showing a lot more tennis. So I think hopefully we'll have more champions over the years.
You're worldwide, but I bet your fan base is pretty strong in India, and that's great for tennis. You know, again, it's such a global sport, and if we can have access to more of these fans that are out there, I can't tell you how many times I come up and encounter people from India who say, you know, I remember watching you, and this, there are very few people who remember that far back in their lives, but there are quite a few that love the sport in India, and it was a real pleasure when I got to go play Davis Cup there, too, and to see firsthand the passion for the sport there, so it's great to see it being carried so well right now by Ro.
Jim played Davis Cup in India. Prakash played Davis Cup for India. A lot of connectivity. Hope you'll join us in Newport to celebrate the induction of the first two Indians ever to receive tennis's highest honor. We celebrate Bopsy at 43, still doing big things, and much more to come as we get you ready for the women's singles final in Miami.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Glad you're with us here in Miami on Championship Saturday. Championship Sunday is going to have a similar look. We start with the women's doubles final, All-American duo of Kennan and Maddox Sands taking on Dabrowski and Rutliff. And then it's another tweener edition of TC Live to take you up to the men's final between Sinner and Dimitrov, which kicks off at 3 Eastern here on Tennis Channel. So let's show you how the men's finalists got here. Sinner and Medvedev yesterday. Of course, that was not just a rematch of the Australian Open final, but a rematch of last year's Miami final, which went Medvedev's way. Jim, polar opposite yesterday.
Yeah, quick break of serve in the second game for Jannik Sinner, and he was off and running. Medvedev was trying different return positions, trying to be offensive. Sinner was patient, he was opportunistic, and he was aggressive when the time was right, and he was on point. And Medvedev was a little discombobulated, missing so many returns from that up-close return position. And in the second set, he would try and make some adjustments, but Sinner was having none of it. And Serena was loving what she was seeing. She'd be in the night session as well, watching on. But this was a great start for Sinner in the second set. A winner down the line, and away he goes. So Medvedev frustrated, and Sinner was just flying so high out here. And the only thing that could really come close to matching him in the flying zone was this little fella who decided to come and pay a visit. A gorgeous bird. Brad, what was the style of the bird?
I have to go look it up again. I knew you were going to ask me.
It was a warbler of some sorts. It was incredible. And so was Jannik Sinner out here today. Closed him out in a hurry. Look at the time on the clock. Just 1:09 for Sinner to win his fifth consecutive against Daniil Medvedev.
All right, so just 3 games for Daniil Medvedev. That matches the worst loss of his entire career. Now, here's what's at stake for Sinner tomorrow. If he wins, he'd be the first Italian ever to reach number 2 in the ATP rankings. It would give him 3 titles this year in the first 3 months of the season. That's a rare feat. And it would improve his record on the year to 22-1. And so I ask you, Martina, what we saw yesterday, was that a masterpiece from Sinner, or was that a stinker from Medvedev?
Well, I think Medvedev was more in a masterpiece, less of a stinker. I mean, Medvedev just had no answers. It's not that he played that badly, but he missed those returns because he had to come in and return from closer to the baseline, because if she stays back, Sinner's going to put away the volley on the next ball. So he was forced to play the game he didn't want to play, and he just couldn't handle it. But masterclass from Sinner. He's playing everything, doing everything so well. His movement has never been better. And his serve, it's a whole new shot that he's got. I mean, he had a pretty good serve now. It is outstanding. He's improved it so much.
Masterpiece or stinker?
I'd go with masterpiece. I think what we're seeing from Jannik Sinner, and actually I'll just throw Carlos Alcaraz as well, when they're playing at their highest level, is you can't really penetrate anywhere unless you have howitzers on both sides. And that's why when we see them playing against each other, kind of looks like video game tennis. So Medvedev playing from that far behind the baseline, hoping to get some errors from him when he's being so buttoned up, I just don't know there's anywhere to look. It seems like at the moment he just has no holes in his game.
He was a killer in all categories yesterday, but I know, Jim, you were keeping an eye on the evolution of his serve.
Yeah, his serve has changed dramatically. This time last year, still very much a work in progress, but they've completely altered the motion. The footwork is very different, and with it, he's gotten more power and, importantly, real accuracy improvement. This is before the motion change early last season. The green zones are within 2 feet of the line, so roughly 60%. Look at the difference on the left-hand side in the ad court where most of the break points are going to take place. That kind of accuracy matters, and that's the kind of accuracy that has forced Medvedev to alter his return to serve position. Last year when they played in the final, Medvedev stayed very deep like he always does to return, but after Australia, he felt like he needed to come forward. Australia, he came forward because he was tired.
Yeah.
Here he comes forward because he thinks it's the best place to counteract this newfound speed and accuracy from Jannik Sinner. So Medvedev's going to have to find some solutions because we talked about this in the match yesterday. Medvedev doesn't often have to change the way he plays for someone else, but he does feel that he has to do that with Jannik Sinner, and that's not comfortable for a player.
I've rarely seen the number four player in the world look so confused and at a loss for answers. He can't be himself against Sinner anymore. What's the solution? What's the next evolution from Medvedev?
And on top of that, it's Medvedev, who usually can problem solve and totally change strategy during the match that changes the match. But he had no answers yesterday. What is the solution? I think he's got to improve his serve from up close, his return of serve from up close to the baseline, because he's not going to beat Sinner ever 30 feet behind the baseline. He's just got too much time. And also, during the rallies, he's too far behind the baseline, which then allows Sinner to run around his backhand and hit those forehands. He won't find openings from that far back, so he's got to work on that game. What do you think, Jim?
I think Prakash, the one thing that really rattled Medvedev more than anything, Prakash, I'm sure you pick up on this too, was backhand to backhand. Medvedev is so happy to play in that rally against everybody, and everyone wants to get out of it with him. Sinner made the decision, definitely pre-match yesterday, to stay in the cross-court backhand exchanges, and I think that freaked Medvedev out a little bit.
Jim, you talked about it in the match. Medvedev is generally a defensive-minded player. He makes his money off of getting errors from the opponent.
Yeah.
But when Sinner is playing a little bit more inside the baseline, striking both sides even better, and just being more offensive-minded, there's nowhere to look. Yeah. So, Brett, perhaps to your question, Medvedev needs to start adding a bit more offense into his game to be able to take care of the Alcarazes and Sinners when they're playing at their highest level. The rest of the field, you can get a few more errors, but you kind of got to bring the heat.
And I got to tell you how much I love when we get rivalries like this and you see the chess match happening between the players and their teams trying to figure out what's next and how do I move. So Darren Cahill, Simona Vegnaizi, they've moved the pieces of the puzzle, and Sinner's done it beautifully. Okay. Now Gilles Savara and Gilles Simone have to counteract that. So it's fantastic, and I can't wait to see the next match.
All right, let's show you the other semifinal on the men's side, which featured Sasha Zverev and Grigor Dimitrov. Zverev had not lost a set in the tournament. But, boy, Dimitrov, Prakash, has been a man on a mission down here.
He really has. I mean, look, this was a crucial game here. Zverev serving to make it 5-all. He was actually up 30-love this game. Little nonchalant backhand volley there. Serena approved. She was on her feet cheering for Dimitrov. That was actually the game he came back from 30-love down and broke. Took it 6-4. Zverev, though, he turned on the afterburners here in the second set. Played some great tennis. Both players playing phenomenal tennis throughout this match, using every single ounce of the court. It was Dimitrov, though, who just kind of worked the point around just a little bit more. I love the way he used that no-pace slice, mixed it in with coming over the backhand nicely. So much variety from Dimitrov. But he had to overcome a few things mentally here. Taking on Zverev, he had lost their last 7 meetings. And I don't care who you're playing, that's got to stick in your mind when you're trying to get over the line. That, though, point of the match, 3-all, 15-40, break point. Going down on his backside, able to put away the volley off the lead court, and he made no mistakes. Nerves of steel in this last game, serving it out.
So, that makes 3 top 10 wins for Dimitrov this week after also clipping Hurkacz and Alcaraz as he makes his 3rd Masters 1000 final. So let's quickly get everybody's first blush on this final. Can Dimitrov, Jim, defuse the power of Sinner the way he did with Alcaraz and Zverev?
That's going to be his best chance, right? He's going to have to fight fire with fire out there. And having the day off, that's going to help him freshen up a little bit, too. It's nice in these tournaments that you get that 48-hour window to recover or so to get ready, because he's going to need every ounce of energy to play defense as well as offense. So, look, Sinner's going to be the favorite, no question about it. But, my gosh, I mean, we didn't think that Alcaraz would be here. He's beaten Hurkacz. We didn't think Dimitrov would be here. Hurkacz, Alcaraz, and Zverev. phenomenal run. One more, why not? That'd be incredible.
Who wins, Martina?
You have to go with Sinner. He's playing as well as he's playing. And Dimitrov's got to be a little bit tired, but what a great run. So, yeah, with the one-hander, there'll be some shots that Sinner hasn't seen from other people. Keeps that slice really low. But you still have to think that Sinner's going to the power that's going to pay off.
You want to be a contrarian? Who wins?
Well, but listen, on the paper, you got to go with Sinner again. But why not?
He's got a shot at it.
Why not? I'll go the other way. I do think that Dimitrov has the ability to be able to trouble Sinner. Martina, you talked about it. That one-hander, it gives you a different variety. Medvedev's not giving you that. He's rock solid on that backhand side. But you're going to see roughly the same kind of shot. Dimitrov can give you six different kinds of backhands. A no-pay slice, a hard bunt. He can come over it, use both sides. And he can attack the net. I think he's going to try to have to get off the baseline and just make Sinner a little uncomfortable with some strong attacking.
Disrupt.
Yeah.
3 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, live on Tennis Channel. Jim and Petch will have the action for you. We'll take a break, come back with our FanDuel match preview of the women's final today. It's Rybakina and Collins. Petch and Lindsay will have the call on that one. We'll dive into it when we come back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back on TC Live, time for a little FanDuel match preview on today's final. Live odds on FanDuel have Rybakina at minus 176 to win the match. That makes her about a 61% favorite to win. There's also some prop bets down there. Of course, we've seen Danielle defy the odds a couple times already this week. Prakash, please explain the prop bet down the bottom there.
This is a tough one. I tell you what, though, that plus 210, if you bet $100, you're going to win $210. If you win this, either player wins the opening set, Jim, 7-5 or 7-6. They're both playing well. I think they could be a tight opening set. Maybe that looks good. And I don't mind the plus 146 on Danielle. I think she's got a good shot here. And plus money is always good money.
Jim has got a moratorium on talking about gambling. So
I basically just, I'm glad that whenever I go to Vegas, that Prakash is with me. So he can decipher all this stuff for me.
Well, why don't we put it in tennis terms and ask this question? What does Danielle Collins need to do in this match, Martina, to swing the odds a little bit more in her favor?
She needs to serve well, and she needs to go for the second serve return. And as soon as she's got the opening, go for the open court. She needs to get Rybakina on the run. When Rybakina's set, she's very dangerous, but Danielle's been playing well enough, I think, to get anybody on the run.
Martina, who's better at defense? Is it Elena or is it Danielle?
I think Rybakina is a better mover, but not by much. I mean, again, Danielle has really improved her movement and really seems set for her shots. And even when she's stretched out, she hits a much better ball when she's pulled wide. So she might be a little stronger out of the corners, actually, than Rybakina.
Yeah.
So maybe I would actually now give an edge to Danielle.
But look at that. I talked her into it.
See, it's six-foot-one players don't usually get the edge in the movement category. Yeah. What are the tactical imperatives for you in this match?
Well, I think the defense will make a difference. I do think Danielle Collins plays slightly better defense. So if Collins can kind of get Rybakina on the move and really pull her out wide and kind of get her moving a bit, I think that's going to be her best shot. But at the end of the day, both of these players are so good when they're in pocket. So it's whoever can get that first strike in the point.
The X factor for me, Habs, is Rybakina's serve, because that's been something that's bailed her out of a lot of trouble with some big aces and some big service winners. I think she has the edge in that department. So feels in here like it's not too breezy right now. Seems like a pretty good serving day. So that could be a big factor here at crunch time.
Just a reminder, as you ponder the FanDuel odds, that right now FanDuel customers get $200 in bonus bets if your $5 bet wins today. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and start making every moment more. My question back to you, Prakash, would be about Rybakina's gas tank. Yes. She's played four deciding set matches this week to get to the final. She's also coming off Indian Wells, where she was ill and had to withdraw from the tournament. Are we concerned that she might be low on juice?
Well, look, the big issue is for those 8-9 days when she was sick, she didn't do anything. She couldn't play any tennis. She couldn't do any kind of physical work. And here she sat at our desk and told us that on her days off, she has not been touching a racket. So she's really needed to rest and recoup. And when you're playing three setters, it's kind of tough to get back to 100%. So I do like her on paper, but I think today, if the matches get tight, Danielle starts making the points a little bit longer, there is a chance that fatigue could play into it.
I think combination of fatigue for Rybakina, but most of all, how well Danielle has played. She lost the first set against Para 6-3. After that, it's been 6-1, 6-1 in that match, then 6-2, 6-2, 6-2, 6-3, 6-2. She beat everybody 6-2, 6-3. That's her worst result after that first set. So given that, and she doesn't look, she just looks solid. Like, that's not a fluke that she's playing this well. I expect her to play just as well today as she did in the other matches. Nerves don't seem to be coming into play at all here.
I hate to say it, Prakash and I were on the Danielle Collins bandwagon a week ago.
Well, actually, to give Brett credit, Brett started driving. I just kind of hijacked and jumped in the front seat really quickly.
Well, it's nice to be right once in a while. We'll see if that continues today. She's got a big obstacle in front of her. Let's listen to the intros.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome American Danielle Collins.
Ranked 53 in the world at the moment. She's only ever won two titles. This is just the fourth final of her career. Of course, one of them was the Australian Open 2 years ago, where she lost to Ash Barty. What a way to put an exclamation point on her farewell season. She's the Wimbledon champion from 2 years ago, the Australian Open runner-up from last year. Seven titles to her credit and a 22-3 start to the year. It's our women's singles final from here in Miami. Mark Pecci, Lindsay Davenport will have the call live on Tennis Channel. Enjoy.